S-I-P-O-O, San Francisco, baby, baby!
Shiba, shiba! Shiba, shiba! Shiba, shiba!
Let me in!
Shiba, shiba!
I wanna be closer to you!
Shiba, shiba!
Open up your soul!
Shiba, shiba!
Let me find that part of you, the part that nobody ever knew.
Let me touch your
mind. Oh, why don't you let me in? Let me be the first to ever touch your mind.
Hello and welcome to Let Me Touch Your Mind, the show we try to get you to be something, do something, experience something, enjoy something. There are so many things in this world to enjoy, so many people who are trying to create things that you can enjoy. One of those people is here today. This is the founder of Believe Music Heals, a nonprofit dedicated to transforming lives through music. This person is an award-winning singer, songwriter, and sixth generation San Franciscan with 6 albums released on Indian major labels. I'd like to welcome Essence Goldman. Hello.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being on the show today. So before we get into why you're here, let's first talk about when did you get the performing bug? Was it when you were little? Was it as an adult?
Oh my gosh. I just fell in love with music when I was a child. I just fell hard. As a kid, I suppose it really hit me the most when my parents got divorced, and I used to go back and forth between their houses on like Greyhound buses and airplanes, being like 8 years old by myself. And I had this Walkman and I would listen to music. And I guess that's like when I just really discovered how powerful music was to transform, my perspective of the world and my experience of circumstances around me. I just, music was my escape. It was my portal and it was my inspiration. And, I suppose since I was about 8 years old,
so when
even younger. Yeah.
So when you were flying back and forth between your parents, were there particular songs that you were listening to, or did you have songs that when you were feeling, you know, like down in the dumps, you would go to these specific songs?
All the way back then. Oh my gosh. Well, way back then I was listening to, you know, quite a variety of music, but I suppose there were the great songwriters are what really made the greatest impact with me.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like Bob Dylan and Joni Mitchell and Carole King. And I mean, I was mostly first impacted by just storytelling and songwriting. And, but of course there were, you know, artists like, you know, Michael Jackson and Prince, and my taste was varied and wide, and I fell in love with Aretha Franklin and country music like Dolly Parton and Willie Nelson, and I suppose just all the great songwriters, John Prine. Even from a young age, storytelling was what got me, and I was inspired by the fact that they told these stories and put their hearts and their lives in music. And it really affected me. Even the great blues, I was always quite moved by, you know, Muddy Waters and so many great blues artists.
So when did you make the leap from listening to performing and writing?
Well, I suppose it was when I was pretty young. My dad gave me this journal, and he called it the Book of Feelings when I was a real small kid. And he taught me to pour my heart into the pages, and I didn't realize at the time that those, you know, those words that I was putting on the page kind of became poems. And ultimately, eventually, I just, you know, I started taking guitar lessons, and with my guitar teacher, who said, "Hey, you know, you can sing." And I had no idea that I knew I liked singing, but I loved singing, but I didn't really know that I could do it. And my teacher told me that, and then it was, from then on, it was game on, and I just went for it, you know, just in my small way, you know, one day at a time. It wasn't overnight. It's never been overnight. It takes work.
Sure.
Like anything. But yeah, I've been super passionate about it and, you know, and working very focused with my voice and my guitar and songwriting since I was a teenager.
So everybody who is a well-known performer, there's that first time that you feel like a real performer. Like for some people, it's the first time they hear a song that they've written on the radio. For some, it's do you remember the first time you felt like I am actually a performer? I'm actually a singer. I'm doing this for real.
There were a couple of pivotal moments, I would have to say. Just playing at an open mic.
Mm.
When I first started writing my songs, I would get up and there were a couple of open mics in my early 20s where I would get up and I felt like, wow, I'm on the right path. There were some definite moments where people just responded to what I was singing and I felt like the world stopped.
Mm.
And there was no time, and all there was that song in that moment and me telling my story and singing. And that's, to me, what art is about. It's kind of like getting out of your head, and you almost forget, you know, why you're doing it other than just for the love of doing it. But ultimately, you know, it's really nice when people respond, but I think this, the act of doing it, the act of creating, writing songs, those moments where they came through me, those were powerful moments where, yeah, I've had a few of those. And some of them are private, you know, when the song's being written, it's a very internal process. That's one part of it. And then the other part of it is the sharing, how it's received, how it affects other people. Mm-hmm. And both of those are equally important, I think.
So,
you asked if there was like one pivotal moment. I can't say. I think it was like the open mics.
Mm, okay.
Maybe a school performance. There was a school performance as well.
Okay. Now I'm reading that you've shared the stages with like Sheryl Crow and Tom Petty and Old Crow Medicine. Like of all of the performers that you've shared the stage with, which one would you say you found the most, like, exhilarating?
Oh, my goodness. I would have to say, I mean, sharing a stage with Tom Petty, there's nothing that quite matches that. I opened for him at the Fillmore in the late 90s, and that was pretty amazing. He was absolutely one of my heroes. But also I would say, I mean, like early on, I won a contest like in the 90s that really was an aha moment for me for sure.
Which
I won the National Lilith Fair Talent Contest.
Wait, what? The what?
It was called the Lilith Fair. Do you remember back there was
Lilith Fair. Okay.
Yeah. In the 90s with Sarah McLachlan and Sheryl Crow and Sinead O'Connor, Jewel, and
yeah, those are heavy hitters.
All the great, you know, female artists of that time, and I won the contest. There were 5,000 entries, and I won, and I got to play on the stage with all those amazing women, and that was very that was a pretty big pivotal moment for me too.
So you met all of these women, and did you feel like what was going through your head when you're and on the stage with all of these people?
Well, I suppose I was just thinking, like, this is the, you know, this is what I want to do for the rest of my life.
Aww.
You know, and I never wanted that moment to end. And I suppose, you know, I married myself to the music pretty young. And those moments, like when I opened for Tom Petty, or I opened for Pat Benatar, I opened for Steve Miller, Old Crow Medicine Show, and share the stage with them, and all these things, they just, for me, they're very life-affirming. It's like a path. It's not just one moment. It's every step that you take in life leads to those moments, and it's the journey as much as those peak moments that are impactful and that make a life,
okay.
Right?
Yes, they are.
Doing the thing that you love. it's a privilege. So yeah, I love being in the presence of those amazing people. It's totally inspiring and life affirming. It's been amazing.
And then I know you have a lot of albums out, but the one that kind of intrigues me for completely childish reasons is A Dog Named Boo and His Friend Roo, because I love the titles on it. Like, everybody has a butt, because I have lots of little children in my life, and those are the kinds of things that, you know, it's fun to share. So talk a little bit about the different albums that you've written, and if you could focus a little bit on A Dog Named Moo and His
Sure.
Friend Roo.
Well, I would have to just say, for me, songs, like music and songwriting, is about capturing truth mm-hmm. and authentic life experience. And so each song that I write, I try to just come from the heart, and I try to be as real as I can and capture like concrete images and conversations and true feelings of loss or joy, heartache, hope, humor. Mm-hmm. And so each one of my songs and each one of my albums, it sort of represents like an era in mm-hmm. my life.
Mm-hmm.
And my Dog Named Moo album, for example, I mean, some of them are about, you know, heartbreaks, relationships that ended, or new relationships that started. And that particular album, A Dog Named Moo and His Friend Roo, I released it in when my son was two years old. Well, we started writing these songs. I was a new mom. And to be perfectly honest, the backstory on that album was that I was grieving because my dad had died when I was pregnant with my son, and he had raised me as a single dad, and I was devastated, and I didn't have a lot of family support. I felt pretty alone, and I had to reinvent myself. It was after I had had three major label deals, and things hadn't like popped yet, and mm-hmm. I was like, dang, now I'm a mom, and how is this going to work? And I didn't know how to pivot with my music.
Sure.
So I decided to just write what was honest and true, which was I was a new mom, and I made these songs with my kid about getting him to put his clothes on when he didn't want to wear clothes, or having him eat healthy food, or, you know, he loved dinosaurs. So we wrote songs about dinosaurs and all the adventures that we went on, and life turned into art. And that's where that album came from. And it just was something that we did that was fun together. And it helped me process my grief by redirecting my loss and my heartache to the moment of joy and the light that there was, which was my beautiful son. And that's how that album was born. And it actually was really amazing for me because it was a pivotal point in my musical direction, because some of my earlier records were more electronic and, mm-hmm. and pop.
Mm-hmm.
But that record was all organic, and it was roots and more Americana and country. And that informed the direction of all my subsequent records, which was really where I had come from in the first place. I had kind of gone, so it's full circle. I came back to what I listened to as a kid and what my parents played in my home, because they were hippies. And, and I was, you know, I grew up in that era,
mm-hmm.
San Francisco, bohemian world. And so, I went into the roots, the Appalachian roots of country, roots Americana music. And that's what I'm making now.
Okay, well, we'll get to that, but I want to know, does your son, I mean, he's older now, but were there any songs on that album that he could sing along to, or were there any songs on any of your albums that your son just knew the words to because they're little sponges?
Yeah, he knew the words to all the songs, and I mean, it was about the titles, about our dog, Moo. He was a 150-pound Newfoundland.
Oh, my God.
Huge, huge dog. He was way bigger than me.
Wow.
Black and white, so he looked like a cow. So we wrote a song about him, and that was the title. That was his best friend. And, he sang along with me, and we made up the words together, and it was amazing. Now
Aww.
He's 16.
Aww.
And, it's been a beautiful thing. It's also a challenge to balance being a mom and being an artist.
Mm-hmm.
Because what started as this thing that we did together was really beautiful. It was also kind of hard because then it made me really busy, mm-hmm. and it took me away from him. So there was, you know, both of all that happened,
yeah.
making that album. But he is supportive and he loves that his mom is an artist. And, so yeah, he does mountain biking.
Okay.
Now I have a daughter.
Oh, where'd that one come from?
Same place.
Oh, okay. Oh, your son's transitioning to your daughter.
What's that?
I'm confused.
Oh, no, I had a dog named Moo was about my son, and, you know, and then life happened, and now I have a daughter, and she also plays music and sings. So,
okay.
You know, he's 16 and she's 11, and I'm blessed with two beautiful children.
Yay.
Yeah.
So your forthcoming album is called A Father's Daughter. And this ties in because you said you lost your dad while you were pregnant with your son.
Yes.
And you've probably been, because your father didn't actually get to meet your son, which is something every parent wants. Their parent, you know, they want that connection. So
right.
Is this album a way of purging the grief or reconciling the things that you couldn't do with your father? Tell me about the album.
Well, I would have to say it's an ode to the love that I shared with my father. And, you know, it's honoring that he made me who I am.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that I am, everything that I know, everything that I do, the choices that I make, having, you know, his influence has informed my path in life. So everything that I am, he, you know, really is because of him. And so this record has several songs that are about my dad,
mm-hmm.
and about my love with my father. And then some of them are just about my life and, you know, they're just really honest and to the bone, about my victories, my wins, my losses, and my journey as a woman coming into my own strengths and lessons that I've learned along the way. Each song tells a story and, there's a lot of vulnerability in the song,
mm-hmm.
and
so
a lot of truth, a lot of heart.
So, in creating this album, like you mentioned, that your son is, or your daughter, your kids are really happy that you're an artist, and do they have a hand in helping you with the album?
You know, to be perfectly honest. My music and my work, it's a huge part of my life.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very devoted to it. And I think it's really important to have separations.
Mm, okay.
And when I spend time with my kids, I want it to be about them. So, and that's, I think, the challenge for me as a parent and being an artist is balance. Because, I want to empower them to mm-hmm. find themselves, mm-hmm. not just to identify themselves as being the daughter of, or a son of Essence, who's an artist.
Mm-hmm.
I want them to be their own people. So my son likes to do photography. He loves to ride mountain bikes, and my daughter rides horses, and she's super creative with art, and she loves playing music too, but she doesn't do it publicly. And, you know, they're more introverted, and I like to respect that. We love mm-hmm. to go on trips, and we spend time in nature, and we have dogs and pets. We have a cat, and, you know, we cook. And I want to keep things, you know, just where I can be giving them my attention instead of having them be, supporting what I do. Although, I will say, I just made a video, mm-hmm. a music video for what's going to be my next single, and my daughter does make an appearance in the video.
Okay.
So I don't pressure her to do it, but if she wants to do it, then she's more than welcome. But I think it's a fine line being an artist. Like, my kids have been in some of my earlier videos when they were younger. But I want to be sensitive to what feels right for them and not push them or pressure them.
What's the name of the video so people know to look for the telltale?
Well, it's going to be coming out next year, early on, hopefully in early February. And the song is called Free.
Oh, okay.
And yeah, and there's a scene. I don't want to spoil it.
But
my daughter plays a very special role in the video. And it was her choice. She wanted to do it. So
very cool.
You know, so when I can't wait to share it with everybody. It's a song about having been through an abusive relationship and finding my center and my strength to get out of it and to say no more and trusting that there's something better on the other side and celebrating that independence. Celebrating the experience, the wisdom that came from it, and believing in myself and just moving forward with strength.
Okay.
And so it's an anthem of sorts for anyone who's ever stayed in a relationship, perhaps longer than may have served either party. And yeah.
I like the way you phrased that. I like the way you phrased that. So when does Father's Daughter get released into the wild?
We're looking at June 2025.
Oh, my. Okay.
I know. I'm so excited.
Okay.
It is long time coming.
Very
cool. Started recording it before the pandemic.
Oh, wow. So you've been working on it forever.
I've been working on this record for a while. So
wow.
I'm really proud of it.
It's like another child.
It is another child.
Wow. You're also the founder of Believe Music Heals. Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, okay. So when I am not performing and I'm not recording, I have, I teach voice lessons. I teach songwriting, voice, and guitar.
Okay.
And in 2017, a few years ago, a gentleman responded to an ad, a Craigslist ad that I had out, and I had just recently left my marriage, and I got out of like a rough marriage, and I put this ad on Craigslist because I had to find a way to make ends meet and supplement my income. And so this gentleman responded to my ad on Craigslist, and he was also a single father, and he came to me for lessons every week. He was a surfer. He was a very down-to-earth guy. He cleaned swimming pools for a living. He was a surfer, and he would drive every week to me from Santa Cruz up to San Francisco. And after a couple months, he was singing the blues, and he was fantastic. And then suddenly his voice disappeared.
Oh.
And we had no idea what it was. But months passed, he shifted his focus from singing to songwriting. He kept coming for the lessons, and his symptoms decided to get worse, unfortunately. Oh. He was soon drooling, having a hard time swallowing, and more months passed, and eventually he saw a neurologist, and he was diagnosed with Lou Gehrig's disease.
Oh, no.
At 46 years old.
Wow.
In the most aggressive form. And by then, we'd kind of become friends. And I was teaching his daughter as well. And his name was Bernie Dalton. And I asked Bernie what he wanted to do with his remaining time, because they gave him 1 to 3 years to live from the time symptoms had presented.
Oh, wow.
And he, by the time he was diagnosed, he had already had the symptoms for almost a year. So it was a very aggressive form of Lou Gehrig's disease. And his response to my question was, I want to make an album. And I said, how are you going to make an album, Bernie, when you can't speak and you can't sing and your hands are starting to fail you? You can't play guitar even. And he said, I want you to become my voice. And at first I declined because I was making my own record, Father's Daughter. I had just started writing and demoing those songs, and I wanted to focus on that. But he was very persistent and charming, and he just wouldn't take no for an answer.
He wore you down.
And so He managed to get his way, and I put my own album on hold, and I decided to raise money for him to make his album. I didn't think anybody would really contribute because he was an unknown guy, but people did. And within a week of me putting up the GoFundMe, we had $30,000. And so I pulled together a bunch of people who were some very talented collaborators who I was working with on my own music, and also people who were taking lessons with me, just some of the best talent that I could find in the Bay Area. There was Roger Rocha from the Four Non Blondes, Daniel Berkman, multi-instrumentalist, and myself, and David Simon Baker at the helm, producing and engineering. And we made a collection of recordings where we wrote and...
Hello? Oh, we seem to have lost her. She'll be back. You're listening to 89.5 FM KPOO San Francisco.
Uh-oh.
Oh, there you are.
I'm right here.
There you are. You disappeared for
that's
a little
weird.
Bit.
You couldn't hear me? That's so crazy. I'm so sorry.
Oh, no, that's
I don't know. It's a bad reason. Do you want to, should we go back on?
Oh, we're still on. So
okay.
we lost you for about 15 seconds, so.
Oh, okay. Well, anyway, what I was trying to say is that we made this album called Connection, and you can find it on Spotify.
Oh, okay.
And that album showed me the power of music. It created Bernie's legacy,
mm-hmm.
and it gave him an opportunity to share his view on the world and make songs that he dedicated to his daughter. And he said it was one of the most powerful experiences of his life, that he wouldn't have changed anything, because having the opportunity to work with me and the other artists who were involved was a high point of his life.
Aww.
And that showed me the healing power of music and how we could transform this tragic situation where he was suffering from Lou Gehrig's disease into refocusing on creativity and self-expression. And he was fully alive in the moment. And then the time that we made that album, he was not focused on his suffering nearly
right.
as much as he was focused on creating. So that inspired me after, sadly, tragically, he passed away
mm-hmm.
in 2019.
Okay.
But he gave me such a gift in showing me what was possible in the face of adversity, his courage and his creativity. And he showed me that, I could help other people in that way. I had never known I could do something like that. But since then, I've produced projects for several other people who've been terminally ill. And I founded Believe Music Heals. And now I'm working with inmates at San Quentin. We have two programs there, one for beginners, one for advanced. And I just produced an album for 30 inmates. Last spring and summer, and that will be released to the public soon. And that is quite incredible. All of the stories that the participants channeled their life stories from San Quentin into these recordings, into these songs. So music is truly has the power to uplift and transform lives. That's what I've learned, and that's what I've dedicated my life to, in addition to my own music and my children. So. You can find us at BelieveMusicHeals.org.
Okay.
And learn about the other programs that we're putting together as well with By the Bay Hospice. We're going to be doing bedside concerts, as well as empowering people who are terminally ill or chronically ill to put their attention on learning instruments and singing and writing songs. And hopefully making lives happier and better. One note at a time.
All right. So once more for our listening audience, can you tell us where people can find out more about Believe Music Heals and where people can find out more about your forthcoming album, Father's Daughter?
Well, you can find my record and find out more about my music
mm-hmm.
at essenceandgoldcountry.com.
Okay.
That's the name of the band, Gold Country.
Okay.
And I'm Essence. So essenceandgoldcountry.com. And the nonprofit is Believe Music Heals. You can find it at believemusicheals.org.
All right. Well, Essence Goldman, I want to thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you so much for having me. And I also would love to invite our listeners, if they're interested in taking lessons. I am still teaching guitar and voice and songwriting, and I'm offering gift certificates for anybody who's looking for a holiday gift that keeps giving. You can give the gift of music lessons, and you can find me also through my website, which is the email address is essence@essenceandgoldcountry.com.
All right. Well, once again, Essence Goldman, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you so much for having me, Marilyn. I'm honored.
Wow, thank you.
I was walking down the street with my dog when out of the blue and out of the fog, I saw a big T-Rex. Couldn't believe my eyes. I got really scared, but I didn't want to cry. I called 911 and the operator laughed when I told her T-Rex just stepped on a Cadillac. The earth started shaking, the ground started quaking, but T-Rex wasn't hungry for trees. T-Rex was hungry for a kid like me. T-Rex, the biggest, baddest beast that ever lived. T-Rex, he tried to be an herbivore but had to eat one instead. T-Rex, he's my favorite carnivore. Everybody runs when they hear him roar. I had to get home. I had to warn Mom. He was knocking down buildings. I was trying to keep calm. People in the streets were running for their lives from his teeth and his claws as sharp as knives. And all of a sudden, from out of the sky, an asteroid came crashing down very close by. When the cloud of dust settled from behind the rock, T-Rex emerged, but now he could talk. He said,
"Come here, little boy, I can eat you up. But what I'd really like is a peanut butter cup."
So I reached in my pocket and I gave him my Reese's, 'cause I'd rather do that than get ripped into pieces. T-Rex, the biggest, baddest beast that ever lived. T-Rex, he tried to be an herbivore but had to eat one instead. T-Rex, he's my favorite carnivore. T-Rex, everybody runs when they hear him. T-Rex wiped his mouth with his minuscule hand when an earthquake abruptly started ripping the land. A bus full of people were dangerously trapped on a bridge on a river that was going to collapse. T-Rex pulled with his mouth and he pushed with his tail. He moved that bus. It was big as a whale. He broke all the windows with one mighty shout. He used his itty-bitty hands to pull everybody out. He had them climb up his feet and onto his back. For a ride down the street, he didn't step on a crack. And everybody cheered as they rode on top. T-Rex dropped each of them off at their bus stop. The last stop was mine, and Mama saw Rex with me on his back. She was shocked but impressed. I told her Rex was a hero all around town. How he saved all those people and gained great renown. Mama thought my new friend was a winner, so she invited T-Rex to stay for dinner. T-Rex, the biggest, baddest beast that ever lived. T-Rex, he tried to be an herbivore but had to eat one instead. T-Rex, he's my favorite carnivore. Everybody runs when they hear him. Everybody runs when they hear him.
You're listening to 89.5 FM KPOO San Francisco. I'm leaving you with Christmas music. Until next week, ta-ta, Merry Christmas, Happy Kwanzaa, Happy Hanukkah, tip-top-tet, enjoy the holidays.
They call me Backdoor Santa. I make my runs about the break of day. Oh, oh, oh.